Good morning, good morning, Taylor family. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's give him some praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Good morning and welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. We welcome the Taylor Tabernacle family and all of our friends through Facebook, whether you're watching through YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. We have a few housekeeping announcements. Before you leave, the exit that we want you to go through, I've been told, is the side door. Amen? Amen. I'm going to call Sister Alex up. I thank her for being ever ready. Amen? Amen. She's going to lead us. Oh, I thank her for being ever ready. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. She was going to step in for our sister Leah, who was running just 30 seconds behind schedule. Amen. Before we do that, we're going to turn to our scripture as Sister Leah comes up. She's going to bless us, as she often does, with a sermonic selection. The scripture for this morning, if you can all turn, it's Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. For those of you who can stand, I'd ask you to stand as the word is being read. Amen. Verse 38 reads, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She and her sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. Verse 42 reads, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. That is the New International Version. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen? Amen. Sister Leah?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. He's so good, and he's always making ways out of no way, no matter what comes around us, and how he continually provides and shows us his love and his mercy towards us. And so we're grateful that he continually makes a way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Standing here, not knowing how we'll get through this test, but holding on to faith we know best, that every need he will supply. He's got this in control, and now we know that he made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. Thank you, Lord. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. Now we're standing here only because you made a way. Thank you, Lord. Oh, now we're here. Looking back on where we've come from. It's because of you and nothing we've done to deserve the love and mercy you've shown. But your grace was strong enough. You picked us up because you made a way. Oh, when our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. And we're standing here, only because you made a way. Oh, you move the mountains and you cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. And we're standing here only because you. Come on, sing it together. You move the mountains. He calls the walls. You cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. There is nothing that's impossible. There's nothing impossible for our God. And we're standing here only because you move a mountain. You cause the walls to fall with your power. Perform miracles. Thank you, Lord. There is nothing that's impossible. Thank you, Lord. And we're standing here only because you made a way. You made a way. Thank you, Lord. He's always making ways. You made a way. You made a way. You made a way. When our backs were against the wall and it looked as if it was over, Lord, you made a way. Now we're standing here and we're standing here only because you made a way. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I need a little more praise than that. I need praise from every single one who knows that were it not for his grace and mercy, his covering, his favor, hallelujah. When our backs were against the wall and it looked like all hope was over, hallelujah. He came and he swooped in, hallelujah. He just cradled us and protected us, showed us mercy and favor, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Hallelujah. I have too many testimonies about that very song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are going to jump right into our sermonic selection. Our sermon. Hallelujah. And I'm looking at our deaconess, Barbara Williams. Ooh, okay. My notes might be a little off, but that's okay. That's okay. Amen. So my understanding is that you'll see why I'm looking at him like that. Our pastor, the shepherd of this house, is going to be delivering the word this morning. Amen? Amen. So without further ado, let's stand and greet our shepherd, our pastor. Everybody say, God bless, God bless. Pastor Ford. God bless, Pastor Ford. God bless, Pastor Ford. Real good. Amen? Amen.
Good morning and God bless you. This is the day that the Lord has made and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Thank God for my wife, the First Lady. Thank God for her. She's about the only one that when introducing me actually encourages the church to say God bless Pastor Ford. Kim does it too. Other than that, I just walk out, my head down. Y'all just look at me like, oh. But no, thank God. Thank God for all of you. Let me say this before we get into the business at hand. First and foremost, I don't know if I've ever been more proud than what I am today. What a joy and great comfort it is to any pastor to walk into a church on a Sunday morning and find it packed with people laying on the floor praying to God. That's what I encountered this morning. That's why I walked in. We were late getting out. We got down here. But first, before I got in, I heard the people praying. So many cars were already here. We had to park down the block and walking up. I heard the people praying. Then only to open the door, the glass doors, and then the wood doors to the sanctuary, and then to see the people of God praying. No form, no fashion, some laying on the floor, some at the altar, some over there, some standing. And the people of God were praying to the God of our salvation. I don't know if I've ever been more proud as a pastor, right? As a pastor. Because if the church doesn't pray, who will? Right? If the church doesn't, who will pray? And so, a special thank you to all those who set your clocks early, got out early, got down here, and joined us in prayer this morning. More than anything else, I know it made heaven happy, but as your pastor, it really, really delighted my soul. Amen. Okay. So a couple of things here. First, I want to start by giving a special thank you to our viewing audience, to all of those who join us faithfully every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock via the internet, either on YouTube Live, Facebook Live. To those of you that view our sermons and services off of our website or YouTube channel, I don't think I take the time to say it enough, and that is to express my gratitude to our listening and viewing audience. Amen. So I'm doing that. I'm saying that. I'm looking into the camera. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. This is really special. Thank you for your support, not just your prayerful support, but for your financial support of the ministry, right? So I want to say that. I want to be on record. I want it recorded for posterity's sake, you know, and hopefully I can say it more often, right? Now, be clear. This is when I call the viewing audience, that's the audience that does not live within proximity to the church. Okay? That means you're out of state. You're cross lines, you know. Now, if you live around the corner and not coming to church, I have a different message for you. Okay? That's not this message, right? I got a different message for you, right? But for those that live out of state, one day we need to pull that report. How many folks, not just how many are listening, but what states are represented by the folks who are chiming in, okay? I'm saying that, one, because it's overdue, but also I received a message from our listening audience, and I want to share it because I think it's helpful for all of us, okay? So it says, Pastor Ford, I have a request. Would you please be so kind as to have someone check the microphones, okay? So we thank God for our AV team, Josh, JC, all the folks who work over there. And it may be time, Josh, we may need new microphones. You know what I mean? But we're doing the best we can with what we got. Isn't that what your grandmothers used to say? Doing the best I can with what I got. And so that's what we're working on it. But those guys do a great job. And this is a comment from last Sunday's service, right? And you realize last Sunday's service went what? Sideways. Right? By no fault of our own, but by the moving of the Holy Spirit. So what happened, a lot of people were tuning in and they didn't know what, I don't know if the thing was up or not or whatever. It wasn't a normal Sunday. It was all, if you were viewing, coming in over Facebook or YouTube, it went sideways. And so that's what they, we're going to work on the mics. And so it's again, the pastor, me and Abe, we got it. Then it says, please don't walk away from the podium with the microphone so that the people on the internet who tune in faithfully can feel the spirit too. Okay? So that is directly for the pastor. Right? Because again, not only did the service go sideways, I went sideways last Sunday. I was up and down. I walked outside, went, got a water ice, came back. And so, again, our listening and viewing audience has chimed in with constructive criticism. Amen? And I thank God for that. Okay? So thank you for that. That's for me. And also for all of us who come and serve in any capacity to serve, especially if we're up here in the pulpit and are using the microphone, just a reminder, you know, speak loudly, clearly into the microphone. I know even if you think you have a loud voice, we use the microphones so that we can put your voice over the internet. So you may speak loud enough for us to hear and hear, but that doesn't help the listening or viewing audience, right? We want to use the mic, speak loud, speak clearly into the microphone. And if you're the pastor, stop moving all around. Okay? Years and years ago when I first started preaching, that's what my mom, that's the number one thing. She was like, stop moving. You always, so I got to go back and listen to my mom again. Okay, good. We have that. Just a note, I didn't get to say this in the one call yesterday, but we are going to have a special announcement at the end of service. So hang out for that. Don't put up the Baptist finger. Stay around to the end of service for that. And then lastly, and then we'll get down to business. Another special thank you in preaching. Many pastors, not all, but many pastors have what is called a preaching assistant. And oftentimes what a preaching assistant will do, they'll help the pastor with the research of scripture, literature, you know, illustrations, whatever, to just buy the pastor some time in their study. Now, research assistants will be like, well, pastor, where are you going? Well, I'll go out and do the research for you and get all that type of stuff. Now, I don't have a research assistant, but I do have a preaching assistant, right? And that is our deaconess, Lillian Davis Jones. Amen. So let's give her a round of applause, right? See, oftentimes, all of what you are seeing displayed around the sanctuary, and I apologize again to our viewing audience, we have a fixed camera. It's only in one location. It's not the one that moves. But all over this place, she has decorated the church with all of these fine pieces of artwork and pottery and stuff. And she did that. She even has a painter's drop cloth up here in the pulpit and all of that. And so I wanted to personally thank her. I want to thank her husband, Curb, who is our maintenance man, right? So when y'all clog up the toilet, it's Curb who's got to go fix it. So y'all need, let's give Curb a hand. Thank Curb. And to Isabella, who is often here accompanying her when she's cleaning. So thank you to the entire family. Let's give Isabella a hand. So when y'all blow your nose and leave your tissues on the seat, it's Isabella who's got to clean it up. So be kind and clean up behind yourself. But no, they're my preaching team, and all of this beautiful artwork in the windows back, all the stuff you see, she has so graciously shared with us. Amen. And so I just want to personally thank her for that, not only on this occasion, but on so many other times when I want to visually depict the Word of God. She's a tremendous resource, creative, and just able to pull it together. I just tell her where I'm going. She'd be like, yeah, I got it, Pastor. So thank you to her. Amen? Good. Let's get down to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. In the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, the 18th chapter. Once you have that, we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 10. Jeremiah 18 and 1. And we'll add to the witness out of the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, chapter 2, verse 10. Amen? And as you turn there, I am going to invite you to stand with me that we might honor the Word of God. Again, Jeremiah 18 and 1 and Ephesians 2 and 10. Amen. If you got it, say, I got it. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. Tyrone, bring my plate out. Okay. So just hold it. I know it's heavy, but you guys hold it. That's, there it is there, right? And so I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Okay? That's the sermon right there, right? I'm going to keep reading to give you some context, but that's the sermon right there. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel. That's the sermon right there. I'm giving it to you. I don't even have to preach. It's right there. The instant I speak concerning a nation, a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good which I said I would benefit. Verse 11, last one. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Right? Let the people of God say amen. Let's look at the witness. Ephesians 2 and 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. All right? Now I'm going to read that same passage again, but I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. Same passage, Ephesians 2:10. Right? Here it is. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Right? We are God's masterpiece. Right? He has created us, right? Say it with me, anew, right? That's, use your good preaching voice. That's good. That's good. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let the church say, Lord Jesus, help us. So my message this Sunday, as we kick off Women's Month, right, and I gotta admit, I stole this. This is not original, right? But my sermon subject is, you are God's masterpiece, right? And you got the witness to prove it, right? You ain't gotta take my word for it, take God's word for it. He said, you are God's masterpiece. Father in heaven, thank you for creating a masterpiece. Thank you for fashioning us, shaping us, molding us after your own will and according to your divine purpose. And so our prayer this Sunday morning is simply this. Finish the work that you have begun in us. Christ's name, for his sake and glory alone, the people of God say, amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. So, Todd, let's do that because you're going to get tired. So sit that here next to this, if that'll fit. Yeah, there you go. Right? Because that is this. Right? This started how? Like, this is what it was. And now that it's finished, it looks like this. A masterpiece. Right? If I stop, I've already preached, right? Y'all got the sermon. You know, anything now is just extra. That's the whole sermon. Starts like this. But when he finishes, it's that. Right? I hope the camera usually gets this thing. All right, sit it up here, Ty. Boy, let me hold that. Yeah. Good thinking, Jermaine. Bring it up here. Right, there you go. Good. Good. We're doing this for our listening and viewing audience. They can see it. They can see it. And look, if they can't see it, we know what? They're going to text me by this afternoon. If it didn't work, we'll know because my phone will be blowing up, right? You are God's masterpiece. A number of months ago, my oldest son came to me and said, Dad, you know, I'm going to read the Bible this year. I said, you're about a good thing. And so he was asking me, well, where should I start? How should I read? And I told him what I told many people, when you start reading out the Word of God, if you want to know where to start, a good place to start, I always tell them the book of John. That's what I think it just, there it is. John just lays it out. It's just, that's it, you know. But some people, when choosing to read the Word of God, just out of the way we've been taught and trained, we start at the beginning. So they'll just start, open the Old Testament and start reading at Genesis and come forward. And that's just as good, just as well, right? So many principles, so many foundational truths are given in Genesis because, as its name implies, Genesis is the book of beginnings, right? So Genesis tells you how it all began, right? How the world began, how the earth began. It's the book of beginnings. And as Moses set out to tell the children of Israel about their God, the very first thing that he told them, Moses being the writer of the books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the very first thing he tells the children of Israel, the children of God, about their God is this. He says, in the beginning, God created. The first thing he ever said. Doesn't tell him his name. Doesn't tell him where he lives, what he does. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. The first thing they ever learn about God is that he's what? A creator. First thing they ever learned. First thing ever Moses ever wrote was that in the beginning, God created, right? Now, let me see if I can get a witness this Sunday. But here it is. He created anything that God has ever created is a work of art. Right? I got a few witnesses. Anything that God has ever created is a work of art. Are you with me? So what is a work of art? We hear that. We know that phrase. What is a work of art? Just so we can all work from the same side of the page. A work of art is something that is made by an artist or a creator, right? That is created, get this, to be beautiful. I'm giving you the sermon. First thing we ever learn about God is that he is a creator. He's an artist, right? He's an original. That's what he does. He creates. He doesn't copy and paste, right? He doesn't merge. He creates, right? And anything and everything that God has ever created is a work of art. Are you with me this Sunday? And what is a work of art? A work of art is something or someone that is made by an artist, by a creator that is created to be beautiful. Are you with me? So here it is. Let me tie. I'm going to make this one leap and then the sermon's yours. You ready? A work of art is a masterpiece. If you make that leap, you get the sermon's free. You can take it. A work of art is a masterpiece. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. For any artist, craftsman, creator, painter, their work of art or their masterpiece always begins first in their mind and in their spirit. Right? All these beautiful works of art that you see all around, it didn't just show up that way. Right? It started in the mind or in the heart of the creator, right? It was just a white piece of board, right? When it started, it was just a lump of, that's all it was a lump of clay. But in the hand of the creator, right, in their mind and in their spirit, they already saw the finished product. You didn't see it. You didn't know what it was. You didn't know it. But in their mind, the work was already done, right? Right? In their mind and in their spirit, right? Right? So get this. This is the witness. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. This is what God says. Before I formed you in the womb, I wish I had my witness. He says, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. Anybody know? I was watching Charles Stanley this morning, and he was working that whole sanctification. He said sanctifies means simply this, to set apart. To mean separated from all the rest. That's what it's all sanctified means. I set you apart, right? Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. God says, when you were like this, I already saw you like this. Your friends and families, when they looked at you, they saw this. But when I looked at you, this is what I saw. My masterpiece. Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Right? Here it is. Now, last Sunday was Arts and Crafts Sunday, and let me stop and thank everybody who gave and supported our sister Logan with her, one, being on the Dean's List and being a part of their Honor Society and the great gift they were given to Children's Hospital, CHOP, right? And we here, we love CHOP, right? Especially, not only they do great work, I don't need to say nothing about that, but it has a special place in our hearts and in our lives, right? Because of the work they've done for Ben Maples, right? He is the mayor of Walton Avenue, right? Hands down. He runs uncontested year after year, right? And so many of the great doctors and nurses have contributed to his well-being over the years. All right, so let me give you this. I got enough parents, so you help me preach this. When our kids are growing up in school, especially in the early years, elementary school, and oftentimes in a variety of their subjects, they are tasked with doing a project, right? Do me a favor, bring me some paper out of my printer. And they come home, and the project is always worth 30, 40, 50 points of their grade, so it's a big deal. And so, if any of your kids are like my kids, right, they come home and they tell Jermay about the project on Thursday that's due on Friday. That's what my boys do. We're like, oh, yeah, I got a project due tomorrow. For what? Oh, it's 50% of my, what? 50% of your grade? There they are. We go over there and look at them. They right there. That's what they do. So it sends my wife into a tizzy. Because you got one night to put. They've been working on it the whole semester, little by little. They say every week she's reminded, work on your project. It's coming up. It's due. Right? My kids, Thursday night, due Friday morning. Right? So Jermaine goes into a tizzy. And this is how Thursday night usually goes. Now, remember, it's the boys' project, right? Their grade, right? So the boys, and so because now it's this whole thing, she clears off the table in the kitchen, clears off that, and she go gets all of her stuff. Cardboard, scissors, glue, glitter, tape, and drops it all on the table. Right? The thing's due tomorrow morning. So to get a big poster board, Jermaine always, that's why she gave so much last Sunday. She got all this stuff from with the boys and them. So they set the thing. What is it on? It's this, whatever we're working on. All right, we're going to do a board. A storyboard, right? They got it all laid out. Now, Jermaine's cutting, and Jermaine's writing, and Jermaine's coloring, and glue, and Jermaine's doing all this. Notice I keep saying Jermaine, and Jermaine's, and this is what my boys are doing. Now, might I remind you, it's their project. It's 50% of their grade. And they're sitting at the table doing this. So I do what any good father does. I go upstairs and turn the television on. Because it ain't nothing happening down here that involves me. Nothing's getting cooked. Nothing's happening. Look, this is where it is. So I go upstairs and I turn the ESPN on. I see if there's a game on or something. So the boys are there. Jermaine's there. Project's due tomorrow. So she gets in her creative mood and the juices start flowing. Right? And she's telling the boys, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. And then we're going to put this. And then we're going to add that. Go down in the basement and get this, because I'm going to put that on it. And she's going, and again, my boys are sitting at the table doing this. So now the stuff is there, and she's got an idea where we're going, and now she's into it. They're going to do it, right? And so every now and then, I come downstairs for a snack. Right? Again, no dinner. Project's due tomorrow. So I come in, get a snack. Banana, fruit, something. Maybe a bag of chips. You know, depends. But here it is. Here's the sermon. Get this. Oftentimes, when I come down to get a snack, I see this. Working on the project, something in its creation or development is not right. And I see Jermaine do this. Get this on camera. What she does. She does that because what she has in her head is not happening in her hands. It's too big. It's too small. It's not dark enough. It's not, oh, I got the glue smudged. So she does with her project. Watch, I'm going to tie it in a minute. She already knows how it should look, how it should come out. But while working on it, it gets messed up. And so this is what she does with it. What she does with her project is what most people do with people in their lives. They're not turning out the, oh, Lord help me. And they so easily discard here it is. You got it. I'm just going to work one verse. That's all I need. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand. This creator, this artist, who already knows what the finished product will look like. But while working towards it, it gets messed up. So he made it again into another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. If you haven't realized it yet, this Sunday, I'm not a preacher. This Sunday, I'm a potter. This Sunday, I'm a craftsman. That's why I ain't got no robe on this Sunday. No suit this Sunday, right? Right? Because I'm dressed like this. Get this. Because anytime an artist works, first, when they work, they never work in their home. You ever notice that? A real artist, a real craftsman always have a separate studio. You'll never see a real artist working in their own home. They won't do it. They won't do it. What they'll do is they'll carve out a separate space, a basement, a garage, right? A shed out back. Why? Why? I want to be separated. One, not only so my creative juices can flow, but I need to be separated from my home, from my precious stuff. Watch this, because working with clay is dirty business. I wish I had a real church. Jermaine works on the project. Everything's got to get cleared out. Why? Because her, I was going to say her and the boys, but really her, the only one really working on the project. Why? It's getting ready to get messy. They cutting. They got glue and tape and glitters all. It's, right? So it became marred in his hand. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure. Here it is. In earthen, right? Earthen. Or one translation says clay vessels. Right? Look at somebody and say, oh, ah, you're a clay vessel. That's what you are. You're a treasure in a clay vessel. That the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God or the Creator and not from ourselves. Look at somebody and say, I'm a clay pot. Yeah, yeah. Might I remind you that in that book of beginnings, the Bible tells us that when God decided to make man, the scripture tells us that he went down into the ground. And it was out of the dirt. It was out of the messy stuff. I wish I had a real shirt. Help me preach. Look at him and tell him, you're a clay vessel. Yeah, God made you out of the ground. He made you out of dirty stuff, muddy stuff, got his hands dirty, creating you into his master peace. Help me preach this Sunday, church. Look at somebody and tell them, you are God's masterpiece, created for good. Glory to God. Help me. Help me, the Holy Ghost. Yeah, 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 yeah. But while in the creative process, while he was fashioning you, shaping you, molding you to what he had in mind, something happened. The clay became marred in his hand. Yeah, let me give it to you. That word marred means to damage, disfigure, or destroy. He's got the clay. He's fashioning it, shaping it. But something happens while in his hands. The Bible says that this potter, when Jeremiah went there, he noticed that the clay became marred, disfigured. It became damaged. Watch this. I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it. It became unusable. I brought this down last week because I was going to preach this last week. Service went sideways. So I left it in my office and I left it with a top on it, a lid on it. Because Jermaine told me that if you don't keep a lid on it, the clay will dry out. And then when you go to use it, it'll be the clay became marred in his hands. Are you with me? Right? Damaged, disfigured, destroyed, unusable. Right? So here's the question. Does anyone know what it's like to become marred in the master's hand. Do you know what it's like? You clay pot. You who are God's creation. You who are God's masterpiece. Does anyone here, whether in the sanctuary overflow or our listening or viewing audience, do you know what it's like to become marred in the master's hand? Right? The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel that there was a young man by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, Josh, you know this, the grandson of King Saul, and the son of the prince of Israel, Jonathan, his offspring, right? So we know that he's what? Of royal lineage. His life is meant to be a masterpiece, right? He's born into a line of kings and great rulers, which would be the history of Israel. But the Bible tells us in the fourth chapter that while he was a young man, right, something happened at his home. The Bible said his nurse picked him up, right, and began to run for her and the child's safety. But in the process of fleeing, right, 2 Samuel chapter 4, this is what the Bible says. She dropped him. Prince, grandson of Saul, son of Jonathan, meant to be a prince and a king in Israel, has now been dropped. And the Bible tells us this of Mephibosheth, that when she dropped him, he broke all of the bones in his feet. And because of the lack of medical technology and the severity of the break, they could never correct his feet. So as a result of being dropped, the course of his life changed forever. Saul was a man of war. The Bible, he stood a shoulder's length above every man. He was tall, stout. Saul could fight. He killed the Philistines. Jonathan, a man of war, he was an archer. What Saul could do with a sword, his son Jonathan could do with a bow and arrow. Kill Israel's enemy. And in like manner, I'm sure they had hopes and dreams that Mephibosheth would grow to be a king, a man of valor, a man of war. But something happened. Someone who loved him dropped him. Someone who cared for him dropped him. And because he was dropped, his whole life went sideways. Can't be a deformed king. They want you to represent the nation. They want you to be the best you. Because what people see in you, they see in the nation. Opportunity to be a prince, gone. Opportunity to be a king, gone. Opportunity to be a man of war like his father and his grandfather and continue the lineage, the legacy, gone. Why? Because he became marred in the master's hand. Dreams, gone. Hopes, shattered. And get it, this was from someone who loved him. Wasn't intentional. Wasn't spite. Wasn't meant to be that day. She was actually trying to save him. But in the process, she marred him. Does anyone know what it's like to be Mephibosheth? Who here has ever had hopes, dreams, what your plans for your future, where you would go, what you would do, how you would live? But somewhere along your life, somebody dropped you. Maybe in your case, it wasn't someone who loved you. Maybe it was someone who didn't love you. You became marred. They mishandled you in your youth. They mistreated you in your teenage years. They misunderstood you in your early 20s. And the whole trajectory of your life has been changed. And you're marred in the master's hands. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anyone had anything happen in your childhood? Did a teacher ever say something that instead of encouraging you, they discouraged you? And you became marred in the master's hand. All of God's plans for you, God's hope for you, have now gone out the window. How can I be a man of God knowing what was done to me? So criminal. Every time I hear it, I don't even know how to feel about it. But the whole incidents around priests abusing young altar boys. And to hear these men 30, 40 years later, still hurting. Because their life became marred. In the master's hand. How can I, as a young woman, grow up to do this or that or be this or that? When I was a young girl, and I never told my mom, became marred. Marred because someone mishandled me. Marred because someone mistreated me. Instead of treating me like the masterpiece I am, they misused me. Instead of for God's glory, they used me for their, and I became marred in the master's hands. All of my dreams, all of my hopes, gone. And I used to believe what the preacher said. I used to believe what I heard at church. All until I became marred in his hand. So I still go to church, but I don't sing anymore. Because I'm marred. Yeah, I'll be out this Saturday. I'm signed up. I'll go to the women's brunch. I'll be there, but I'm not. You guys don't know my story. I know I look good. I dress good. I sound good. But down on the inside, I never told anyone, but somebody dropped me. And in many instances, it was someone I loved. And they loved me. But in spite of it, still became marred. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I'm marred in his hands. So let me finish it up, right? Marred in the hand of the potter. My name now is Mephibosheth. Because I was meant to be a masterpiece. I was meant to be a prince, a man of war, a man of valor. But now I'm marred in the master's hands. And so here it is. He says, Jeremiah 18:4. I'm going to read it again, but I'm going to read it in the Message Bible. Right? Yeah, I'm same thing, but I'm just going to read it out of the Message. Whenever the pot that the potter was working on turned out badly, as sometimes happens when you're working with clay. Y'all missed, that was your praise point right there. That even though you're a masterpiece, and even though you're in the master's hands, that sometimes working with clay turns out badly. Sometimes it happens. Look at someone said it happened to me. Listen, the potter would simply start over. Get this. This is your, get ready, boys. This is your praise point. Here it is. Here it is. And use the same clay and make another pot. Thank you, First Lady. She's the only one who got the message. I'm going to read it again. Same verse. I'm just going to read it out of the Message Bible. Whenever the pot the potter was working on turned out badly, right? I already told you what the First Lady does. She does with paper what you do with people. When it ain't working right, you do what? Get rid of it. But look what the potter does. The potter simply starts over and uses, Lord Jesus, help me preach, the same clay. Even though you're damaged, even though you've been disrespected, even though you're worthy to be destroyed, the master, the creator, refuses to discard your life. He simply uses the same clay. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm the same clay. He didn't get rid of me. He didn't throw me away. He didn't kick me out. But he used the same clay. Look at three people and just tell them, I'm the same clay. I'm not different clay. Better clay. New clay. I'm the same clay that was marred in his hand. But the master. Woo! Woo! I'm the same clay. Woo! Yes, Lord. He didn't discard me. He refused to throw me away. I'm the same. I'm the same clay. It's still me. Woo! Help me, Lord Jesus. Yes,
yes, Lord. I'm the same clay. Woo! Yes! Yes! I'm the same clay! I know you broke up with me. I know you divorced me. But God refused to throw my life away. I'm the same clay. If your life has been marked in the master's hands, but now you realize that God can take the same. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm the same clay. I'm the same clay. And watch this. And I am marred. There's no doubt. That's my history. It's on my record. That I've been mistreated, misunderstood, mishandled, abused. I am now misshaped like Mephibosheth. So that may be true about who I am. But there's something I love when I read that. Even though the clay is marred, get this, it's still in the master. I wish I had a real church. Pastor, I am marred. Pastor, I have been molested. Pastor, I do suffer from mental disorders. But I'm glad that I'm still in the master. Good Lord, help me preach. I'm in his hands. I'm in his hands. I'm the same clay in the same hands. And God is not through with me yet. Same clay, same hand. Woo! I dare you to praise him. I dare you to give him the glory. Glory! I'm the same clay. I'm in the same hands. The hands of the man from Galilee. Same clay, same hand. And he simply reshapes me. As long, let me have this clip, stop. As long as you stay in the master's hands, right? In spite of you being marred, mistreated, misunderstood, mishandled, if you stay in the master's hands, He will reshape, restore, renew. He'll make you another clay pot masterpiece. So whatever you've been through, stay in the master's, stay in his hands. Stay in his hands. You are God's master. The Clark sisters used to sing a song. Said he took me. And he made something beautiful, a work of art, a masterpiece out of my life. Even though, Brother Sean, even though I was marred, even though I had been misused, he said he made something, he took a wretch like me, showed me love and concern. And by his grace, he made my life. Watch this. A new and better one. I owe him my all. I cannot let him down. Cause he's the one. Jesus is the one. God is the one who made something beautiful out of my life. Give him a praise. Right now, give the Lord a praise. Yes. Yes. He took me. And he made something beautiful, a work of art, a masterpiece, beautiful, out of my life. Give the Lord, give the Lord a praise right now, right now, right now. I dare you to give the master, give him a real praise. Oh my, oh my. Woo! Yes! You are, I am, God's masterpiece. I'm the same clay. I'm in the same hands. Lord Jesus, help me, Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm still in his hands. Oh, my. Woo! Lord Jesus, help me. You are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Yes, you are. You're God's masterpiece. Created for good works. Created to display the glory of God. Barb, I'm the same clay. But I'm so glad I'm in the same hand. He didn't throw the clay away. So no, it's too hard now. Can't work with it anymore. He didn't discard it. No, bring me fresh clay. If I'm going to make a masterpiece, I need fresh clay. Good clay. Perfect clay. But the sign of a master is that he can take the same clay. And fashion it again. And all you got to do is stay in the master's hand. That's all you got to do. I want to say this to somebody. If God doesn't throw you away, don't throw yourself away. Don't allow the memory of your past to rob you of the future. Look at what God has for you. A masterpiece. Every season of your life, he'll make you a new masterpiece. That's what you are. That's what he created you to be. The world will throw you away. Friends, family, co-workers. I lived long enough to now know it's true for myself. They will discard you. When you can no longer service them or be what they want you to be, James, they get rid of you. Stop calling. Take your name out of the group text. But my message to my church this Sunday, simply stay just stay there. There it is. I gave you the Clark sisters. Here's James Cleveland. James said it like this. He said, please be patient with me. I need you to be patient because I know I'm in the master's hands, but a long time ago I was marred. My therapist quit. My counselor doesn't take my messages anymore. And they have discarded me. But not God. God has remained patient with me. And every day, little by little, even though it's dirty work, messy work, that's why I got my drop cloth. One of these days you'll realize when you come to church, I know what we're going to do. Next time, we're not going to make the church so nice. Because you have a nice church, people come there and think you got to be nice people. Next time we redo the church curb, and instead of carpet, let's put drop cloths down with paint, dirt, mud on it. So that people will know this is the place where you come when you've been broken. This is the place you come when you're hurting. And I know you're clay, and I know it's messy. I know your life is messy. And the life of your kids is messy. But this is the potter's house. This is where the master puts his hands on you. And he takes the same clay and he shapes it to another masterpiece. So if you're here this Sunday and your life has been broken, your life has been shattered, you're here this Sunday and there's things about your past you never told anybody. Put your life back in the hand of the Master. That's what today is about. The Master said, put your life back in my hand. Take it out of the hand of your therapist. They can't fix you. Take it out of the hands of your primary care physician. They can't help you. But put your life in the hand of the potter who can take the same clay and make you a new work of art. To a masterpiece. If you're here this Sunday, I invite you to come. Not to the altar, but to the potter's house. The altar of the Lord is open. I just want to pray with you. Pray for you. I'm going to pray the same prayer for everybody. Lord, help me to put my life back in your hands. If you want that prayer prayed over your life, I invite you to come. It's a simple prayer. I'm not praying any other prayer. Financial breakthroughs, no, none of that. If you want your life to be back in the hand of the potter, I invite you to come. You look back over your history and you see where you've been marred, mishandled, mistreated, abused, molested, physically assaulted, mentally assaulted, emotionally assaulted, and you never recovered. Come on. Come on. I'm anointed to pray. That's why I invited you out for corporate prayer. The prayer is the anointing oil. Won't you come? Won't you come and just say, God, I'm putting my life back in your hands. I know what it's like to put my life in other people's hands. This Sunday, today, I put my life back in the potter's hands. Won't you come? The Holy Spirit is calling you. That's why you came this Sunday. Thought you were coming for Women's Month and Woman's Service. God was calling you. He said, come on. I have a message for you. If you're dealing with brokenness, dealing with sadness, aloneness, depression, come on. Come on. Come on. The Master's waiting. Put your life back in the hand of the man from Galilee. Won't you come? Will you come? How about you? Will you come? How about you? Will you come? The potter is here. The potter's house is open. God, the Master, said, put your hand in the hand of the man. I got a masterpiece in you. I got a new creation in you. I've got something beautiful that I'm going to work out in your life. Just put your life back in my hands. Will you come? Will you come? If you're dealing with brokenness, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with loneliness, come, come, come to the potter's house. Come to the studio of God. This is where God works. This is where God puts his hands to the dirty places of your life. Will you come? Will you come? Father, in the name of Jesus, she's in your hands. Lord, receive her life into your hands. Holy Spirit, anoint her from the crown of her head down to the sole of her feet. Heal the broken places. Hallelujah. The broken places. Good God, help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah. Let the balm of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and rejoice. God said, yes, I'll do a new thing. I'll create a new thing. Good God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. From the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Heal the broken places. Hallelujah. This earthen vessel. God, this earthen vessel. Stir her again under good works. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Do a new thing. Do a new thing. Give her eyes to see. Give her ears to hear. Give her a heart to love only you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing oil. God, your anointing oil. Let it flow from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. Anoint her anew. Anoint her afresh. Good works. Good works. That's what you're anointed to do. That's why he... Lord, help me. Help me. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord Jesus. This daughter of Sarah, you've already healed her body. Now, Lord, heal her spirit. Give her the joy of the Holy Ghost and let it bubble up. Oh my God, from within inside of her. Do it, do it, do it, God. Do it. Do what you've already planned. Do what you intend to do. Let the fountain of life flow freely. She's a well of living water. Flowing from the fountain of God. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Consecrate her now. Cause her to know that her life is hid in Christ. Cause her to know that she is God's masterpiece. Created for good works. God, you know. You're the only one that does know. Today she puts her life back in the Master's hands. Satisfy the longing of her heart. Satisfy her mouth with good things. Let her know the fruit of the Spirit. Cause her to become alive in Christ. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Holy Ghost, quicken her. Yeah, quicken her. Let her feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yes, in the name of Jesus. To be young in Christ. To be precious in His sight. She belongs to you. The matriarch never gave up on her. Neither will I. Neither will you. Stay with it. It's the anointing of God. The anointing of God. Stay the hand of the enemy. Fill her with your Holy Ghost. Cause her to know and love only you. She's been created for good works. We trust you to finish the process in spite of what has happened or what has not happened. God, we know that you'll make it happen. Help us to love her with the love that only God gives. Cause her to know you in a personal and intimate way. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Her life is in your hands. Consecrate her. Cause her to shine brightly with the love of God. Let her radiate your glory. Keep her, protect her, build the hedge all around her. Tell the enemy, not this one. No, 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 not this one. No, 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 no. She's in the master. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Her life in your hands. Consecrate her, Lord. Set her apart for good works. Restore the joy of her salvation. I remember how she used to praise. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the fountain of life. That's it. It's bubbling again. Yeah, there it is. That's it. That's it. God wants to give you your joy back. To cast your cares, cast it on me. The joy of the Lord, that's your portion. The life will never be the same as long as you stay in His hands. Spirit of the living God, a double portion is required. A double anointing is required. The load is great. The burden is heavy. But God, I believe you can renew her strength. I believe that you can help her to run and not be weary. God, I just believe that in your hands she'll be able to walk and not faint. Give her wings of an eagle. Yeah, let her fly. Lift her up, God. Lift her up to the holy place. Yeah, bring her into the holy place of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, she belongs to you. Her life is in your hands. God, we entrust her. Not to her husband, not to her family, not to her church, but we entrust her to the hands of God. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh now. Send a renewal, God. send a renewal, a refreshing, a revival. God, revive us again. In the potter's hands. In the potter's hands. Why not, God? Why not, God? Why not? Why not? Daughter of Eve. Hallelujah. Offspring of Seth. Why not allow God to use you? Why not let God do it? Let God do it. Let God do it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Spirit of the living God. Your masterpiece. Your work of art. Created under good works. The anointing oil of God. Yes. Release rivers of living water out of your belly. Out of your belly. That's where it's going to come from. That's where it's going to come from. While you're in his hands. Spirit of the living God. She was here. She's not here. Remember our Logan Lions. Precious only in the sight of God. I pray that the light of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would begin to burst out of her like sun rays. That people, when they look at her, they see the handiwork of God. Keep her. Consecrate her for the good works of your name and for your glory. Anoint her as she finishes school. Anoint her as she goes to school. Anoint her while her life is in your hands. In Jesus' name. Yeah, receive. 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 Let God do it. Let God do it. Let God do it. Yes. Yes. Restore the joy. Yes. Restore the strength needed. Yes, Lord. The journey is great. The load is heavy. But my God is able. My God is able. Keep her in your hands. Keep her in your hands. Keep her in your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, he belongs to you. He always has. He always will. Lord, anoint him and consecrate him for your service. Finish the work. Finish the work, God, that you've begun in his life. Created for good works. In Jesus' name. You are God's masterpiece. I know it may not always feel that way, look that way, sound that way. But I gave you the witness. I'm not asking you to believe my word. I'm asking you to believe his word. And God said, you are his masterpiece. Stay encouraged, church. Keep your life in his hands. Father, I pray this time for our listening and viewing audience. God, moved by your spirit,
Move according to your word. God, answer every prayer. God, give heed to every cry made to you. God, keep them in your hand. The center of your will, the apple of your eye. Thank you for their faithfulness. Not to me, not to this ministry, but to you. Satisfy their mouth with good things. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Prayer is good at all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While our pastor has prayed for those not only in the sanctuary, but also who are joining us online, we would like to add that if you have a specific prayer request, to please visit our website. You can go to www.taylortabernacle.com and find our prayer request page, or you can call us at 215-748-4578 and leave us a message. Those messages are received and acted upon. Amen. Amen. Well, hearts and minds are clear. We will now move to our time of giving as well as our announcements. And I'm going to ask our sister Christina Rook to come on up. She's going to lead us in our offering and giving as well as our announcements. Amen.
Good morning to the Taylor Tabernacle family and friends. At this time, we will gather to worship through giving. This morning, you may give through one of four ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, or also by the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code Taylor61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA, 19139. Our Venmo is at taylor-tabernacle-6309. For those gathered in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp, one for your tithes and offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. Pastor also has the Cash App, which is $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, and his Venmo is at jonathan-ford-25. As always, we thank you for your continued support of our ministry. Moving on to announcements, the pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live, so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all of our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Pastor is calling all YLE members to come together for a youth choir to sing on Easter Sunday. In preparation, we will have a 30-minute choir practice immediately after service every Sunday through Palm Sunday. Parents, we need your support. Please attend service with your children every Sunday so that they can attend choir practice. Pastor is also asking all the men to cook a dish or two in support of our minister's ordination service on March 30th. Please contact Sister Melissa Lee with your contribution. The pastor is asking all young men to serve during the lunch as well. For Lent season, the pastor is asking everyone to give up 1 hour of phone or tablet time and replace it with 1 hour of prayer or Bible reading. The Lent season began on Ash Wednesday, March 5th, and ends on Easter Sunday, April 20th. March is Women's History Month. Our theme is God's Masterpiece Created with Purpose. So Women's Bible Study will be each and every Wednesday via Google Meet at 7 p.m. Next Saturday, I would like to personally invite you out to our event, which is Painting with a Praise. It's a time for creativity, fellowship, and worship. We'll start the morning with a delicious brunch, followed by an amazing painting session where you will create your very own masterpiece, all while uplifting and encouraging one another in our faith. Whether you're an artist or just want to have fun, this is the time to relax, connect, and glorify God through our creativity. So grab your sisters, your mother, your daughters, your friends, and join us for this powerful time of fellowship, and you don't want to miss it. So we can't wait to see you there next Saturday. It starts at 11 a.m. and will end at 2 p.m. here in the Taylor Tabernacle on the third floor. It's $10 per person, so you can either pay in cash this Sunday or Cash App, $ Shanita Scott. That's S-H-A-N-I-T-A-S-C-O-T-T. For any questions, I can repeat it, or you can see me after church. For questions, please contact myself, Deaconess Shanita Scott, or Deaconess Courtney Scott. Every first Sunday, we will gather at 8:30 a.m. in person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship at 10 a.m. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. Google Meets. Sunday school from 8:30 through 9 a.m. via Google Meets. We look forward to seeing your child the second through fifth Sundays. Don't forget Pastor Maya Lee Challenge and Girl Style Cookie Season. Please support our girls, Kennedy, Zoe, and Zaya. And that completes our morning announcement.
Per usual, there is lots going on at the Tabernacle. If you need reminders on any of the announcements that Sister Christina mentioned, feel free to go to www.taylortabernacle.com. Typically, there is a calendar of events as well as some flyers. You can also visit our page on Facebook and govern yourselves accordingly, add everything to your calendars. We have lots going on for this month. I'm going to ask Pastor to come out and lead us in benediction and dismiss us. It looks like he might have some additional announcements as well.
Okay. Yeah, nothing new. They had the flyers, and again, I was supposed to give them out last Sunday, but it went a little sideways on us. No, stay here. So Tyrone, he's just giving out flyers. They were sent out electronically, but some do not get our electronics, so there's hard copies of just what's going on this month. Hey, I just want to, I want to acknowledge a good friend, Josh Curitan. A couple Sundays ago, he made it to the Catholic League Championship for track and field. Then he doubled down on that performance and then made it to the state championship as a 60-meter hurdler. And if that wasn't enough, this Friday in Boston, Massachusetts, he will be competing in the high school national championship for indoor track and field. Okay? So, if anything is not perfect with our broadcast, cut Josh a break. He's training real hard. No, the Lord bless him and keep him. Men, I need your help. You heard the announcement. We have to feed over 100 people on March 30th. I need every man. I need every young man. We've got to cook. We got to double what we did. James, I need you. Tide, Sean, Tyrone, Rat, all of us, JC, all of us, we got to double down. It's Women's Month, and this is going to be our gift to the women that God has blessed us with. Not simply our companion, but the women that are in this ministry. That's how we're going to bless them. We're going to cook. We're going to prepare. Our young men are going to serve, and we're going to allow our women to close out the month in style as we ordinate our two candidates to the preaching ministry. Will you help me, men? Good, good. That's all I need. Men, we ain't got to be a whole lot. We know how we do. We got that. We'll have it covered. Melissa's not here. Pray for her. She had death in her family. Her and Josh are away, but she said she'll be back next Sunday. We'll speak to her then, call her, email her, text her. She said, let me know. She's putting together the menu even as we speak. Amen. Then one last thing before we get to our special announcement. I thought I knew it, but I don't. To our Mother Radcliffe, how old are you? There you go. Do me a favor as your pastor. Can we have others serve as ushers in the church? I know. She's a tough one. I know. It took years, literally years, to get her to give up communion. One time I took it, she started crying. I gave it back to her. I'm not lying. She said, that's when I fellowship with God. But look at all of these beautiful young women. Church is full of them. Will you do me that kindness? Do me that kindness. And just tell, say, hey, the pastor want me to fill in. I'll do it. I'll stand. I'll give out the programs. I'll give out. Do that for me. I know she'll fight you, but it's okay. That's why I'm doing this publicly. So we're all on the same page. Work with Sister Lillian. Allow Mother Radcliffe to rest. If you do that for me, I believe the Lord will bless you. So we're finished. We're going to conclude. So the way the guys have explained it to me, we're going to play a video. And unfortunately, for our viewing audience, our internet church, we can't do both. So if we play the video, the stream has to come down, right? But this is what you do. The video is going to be about Macho's Delicious Deli. That's what the video is about. It's located right here at 63rd and Catherine, right? Guys, you're with me all year long. I told you it's about what? Men's health, right? Our physical health, our spiritual health, our mental health, and our financial health. And while this is targeted towards the brothers, I know it's Women's Month, but thank God to our brother Paul Williams. He sent me this video and said, Pastor, is right around the corner from the church, right? So we got to cut back on the cheesesteaks, the hoagies, but here is a healthy option right around the corner from the church, right? Sean, you don't have to get the chicken wings anymore. That's Shabbat. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So I'm sharing this with you, right? For those that live in West Philly, those that come down to the church, if you're like me, we always grab something to eat after church. Last Sunday, my sons and I went to this place, and we ate till we couldn't eat anymore. And every last thing of it was healthy, fresh, right out the ground. It was so good, I told our gardeners, Lynn and David, I said, one, not only go and visit, but see if we can't become a supplier of fresh fruits and vegetables to this store, okay? So that's what you're about to see. Father, we thank you for this time of fellowship that we have had. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for my natural family. Bless us and keep us against that great day of your return. Until then, give us courage to live and walk for you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to say goodbye to our viewing audience. For the rest of us, if you just hang tight, I believe Josh is queuing up the video, and it's only a minute or two. I want you to see it, hear it, know where it is, and then I want you to get your money out and go there. Amen. Thank you.